You're listening to WSFM LP 103.3 FM in Asheville, North Carolina. This is The Final Straw, and I'm William Goodenough. The show can also be heard on KXCF in Marshall, California, KWTF in Bodega Bay, California, KOWA in Olympia, Washington, and WCRS LP in Columbus, Ohio. The show will later be aired, archived at thefinalstrawradio.noblogs.org, and you can email us with questions or suggestions at thefinalstrawradio@riseup.net. Also, if you are interested in rebroadcasting any episode or segment, you are free to do so. Just send us an email so we know you're out there. If you care to, you can send us letters at The Final Straw, care of Asheville FM, 864 Haywood Road, Asheville, North Carolina, 28806.
This is our presentation of the second part of the short serialization of an interview with Merve, Hussein, and Ushgur, members of Devrimci Anarchist Faaliyet, or DAF. DAF translates to Revolutionist Anarchist Action and is a network of overlapping collectives in Turkey. They're based out of Istanbul and run an office and two cafes, both called 26A, and a meeting space that employs collective members. This conversation was conducted on March 19th, 2016, a few short hours after a Daesh bombing occurred in the Beyoglu neighborhood of Istanbul, on the touristy street of Istiklal Avenue, just a few blocks from one of the collective's cafes and the newspaper office. The bomb killed four tourists as well as the bomber and injured 36 people. The tension in the city in the days before the bomb was palpable. Trucks of riot police roved around the neighborhood. Embassies and foreign schools were closed for security concern. The approaching Nuraz, or Kurdish New Year, celebrations, slated to take place in the contentious Taksim Gezi Park, so recently, after the resumption of military and legal hostilities between Kurdish groups and aligned leftists versus the Turkish government headed by the AK party of President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, loomed 2 days ahead, promising demonstrations and a conflict between security forces and civil society around the right to the park and against the war on the Kurds, both in Syria and Turkey, by Erdogan's government. Besides the 26A cafes, DAF includes an anarchist women's collective, a publishing project in the form of the Maiden Gazette, published monthly in paper form, a youth collective, the Lycee, or High School Anarchist Federation called LAF, organized art events and projects. DAF also does labor organizing in solidarity with Kurdish resistance and the Rojava Revolution. Finally, DAF organizes in tandem with, though autonomously, from anti-militarist and anti-conscription activists in Turkey. Merve is an active member of the Maiden Gazette publishing crew, the Anarchist Women's Collective, and also is in one of those separate but related anti-militarist groups. Hussein is the main editor of the Maiden Gazette and is involved in the 26A cafes. Ushgur is involved in the Maiden and the self-defense program, as well as the Patika Ecological Collective. In this hour, we start off talking about the Patika Ecological Collective. Patika translates to the word path in English. Patika is a part of DAF that organized alongside rural communities in the Black Sea region of Turkey against the construction of a hydroelectric dam that would destroy the land that folks live on. Patika also organizes around animal rights issues and ecological struggles otherwise, trying to draw the strings connecting ecology with labor, with gender, with racism, and so forth.
What else? Patika.
You remember?
Yes, I remember Patika. Patika Ecological Collective.
Okay.
We are finished with them.
Okay.
If you get tired, we can.
You are the ones that are speaking in second language, so I can keep going in this way. This is great.
Patika Ecological Collective is focused on the struggle of human-centered thinking, which includes the
ecological destructions, animal massacres, and consumption culture.
Overconsumption and causing all these massacres.
So by massacres, the same as like a species die-off. like a whole type of, or do you mean like the factory farming?
Yes, factory farming and intensive farming.
Yes.
Kettles.
Animal industry.
Animal slaughters.
Yeah. Okay.
So we started the movement started with the against the struggle against the dams. It happened in north of Turkey. A lot of forests have been destroyed for the construction of dams, and not
for so hydroelectric power.
Yes.
Okay.
The kind of plants they do is they take the water from its source, put it in pipes, and transport it in the pipes. So, since the water is taken out from its natural course, it's not just the forest; it's all the life, and also all this local economy is destroyed. People have to move to the city, so it's a big disaster. There were like hundreds of small dam constructions during that time. We managed to stop all dams in two valleys with the movements that we joined. And was around 2011.
Okay.
So this was the anarchist perspective in this struggle. Proved very fruitful because during the struggle we organized actions in the city in front of the building. So the villagers traveled the villagers to the front of the company and did sitting actions, which proved very successful in stopping that. And also during the time of our stay, the political character of the villagers was not very progressive. There were even some people from the fascist party. But during the struggle, we applied anarchist methods, decision methods. And
consensus
yeah. And so this proved very effective, and people were interested. And after the struggle was won, people from the village even came to see the Saturday moms, which is not common for.
Came to see the one?
Saturday Moms, which is a Kurdish action.
Okay. So the mothers have disappeared, Kurdish youth.
Yes.
Okay.
And,
does that happen in Ankara or in Istanbul?
In Istanbul.
In
Galatasaray.
Okay.
Every
Saturday.
They are
called Saturday Moms.
So tonight.
Today it happened in the morning.
Oh, okay.
The sitting demonstration happened in 12 o'clock, but the bombing was 11
o'clock. So we saw that the struggle changes people. So we know it, but to see that the struggle changes, transforms the people, is encouraging us.
Yeah,
and also the anarchist view, especially in ecological movement, is really important because there are many left organizations and talking about the companies, but no one is talking about the role of the state.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are selling the rivers to these companies, and moreover, they are trying to protect the companies by their soldiers and policies, and even there are still clashes with the police and soldiers. I'm talking about especially in Black Sea region. Mm-hmm. So this is a new perspective. Okay, state is also responsible for what is done here.
It's a part of the power structure. Yes. That's coming in and mm-hmm. separating you from the mm-hmm. nature that's around you, mm-hmm. sort of thing.
So, like, in Black Sea region, most of the people, they are named as nationalists, okay? But during these ecological demonstrations, most of them understand what the state is already.
So then do you see, like, because you can see, like, ecological struggle as being a nationalist thing, where it's like, our soil, our blood, we protect this is our life, our family. But you said, like, folks coming out after some of these demonstrations and offering solidarity with Kurdish moms who have lost their kids, do you see, like, a good sense of, like, a healthy sort of autonomy in these communities after they get involved with these struggles, like a sense of internationalism alongside of autonomy?
Yes.
Of, like,
mm-hmm. At least in some of the people we see, not the whole future,
yeah.
Because but you see the effect,
yeah,
in some people.
And this part is really important, not just for ecological movement.
Mm-hmm.
It is the situation is same with whole struggles.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that we are trying to do with these self-organizations to make the people empathize with other struggle,
uh-huh.
okay? Like, they are giving struggle for the place where they are living, but they are facing with the pressure of the police. And when they see the violence of the police in another place with other reasons,
mm-hmm.
it is an opportunity where actually the anarchist must focus on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, make the people to think about, okay, I am facing with this kind of repression, with this kind of power, but on the other side, they are facing with another face of the power, but we can be in the same side. So these kind of transitions are really important for us. Like, they are doing they are giving struggle in women liberation, okay? But I mean, we have also another self-organization for workers, but in workplace we met with the women workers, and we know that the problem of these workers are not just limited with the buses, but also the men workers are
intersection.
Yes, so it is another face of the repression of power relation. At that time, like, a woman comrade, daha iyi ilişki geçebiliyor mesela.
And women comrades also take part in the worker struggle, so that they can catch relations
and coordinate.
They can relate to the women workers also in this respect.
Mm. Like, for example, not this 8 March, because this 8 March has been banned. Last and before the last one, 8 March, they have walked with 4 women workers, where they have met in working struggles, okay? They make a boycott or grave, something like this, but they are in 8 March and talking about some other power relations. So for us, I mean, this is related with anarchism,
mm-hmm.
okay? We are not just focusing on the capitalist economy, or just focusing on the repression of the state, or just focusing on the ecological destructions, but focusing off everything,
mm-hmm.
and trying to make self-organizations which are linked together and make the people empathize themselves with some other struggles to understand what power really is. So this is the holistic perspective of revolutionary anarchist action.
One thing we didn't talk about with Daf, and I know that like you've mentioned that you're tired.
No, I'm okay now.
Okay.
I'll just finish with the ecology struggle. Apart from the state, the anti-state view, we also need to focus on the NGO problem in the ecology, because most of the ecology movement, especially in Turkey, has been diverted a lot with these NGOs. So during our struggle in the north area in 2011, we put together some documents about the relationship of the NGO yönetim kurulu, the board, NGO board, okay, with the exact company doing the construction. So this broke up. It was huge news in the community. But it was an important step to open eyes about the NGOs like Greenpeace and other local likes, ilk of these NGOs. So many people in the ecological struggle saw that they have to work with the local people and stay away from funded NGOs. So this is part of what it's an important part of the ecological Patika Ecology collective. We have a journal called Patika, which has two issues: one on the general, one focusing on water, and one focusing on nuclear power. And so it's not a periodical, but we prepare when we see the need.
How long has Patika been around?
The first issue was 2013.
But the group's been around since
2009. But it wasn't called Patika, it was just anarchists.
Ecological
anarchists. Yeah.
Okay.
Doing anarchists doing ecological struggle. About the same people that came
together. This is the Final Story Radio, and I'm Bursa Goodness. Coming up, Merve, Özgür, and Hussein of the Turkish anarchist organization called DAF talk about the publishing of their newspapers and journals, the languages of their publications, and also the connections between education, militarism, and nationalism as relates to the activities of the Conscientious Objectors Association, which is related to DAF, although separate. They'll also discuss connections between DAF anarchists and solidarity with Rojava in northern Syria, and with the Kurds in Turkey.
What's the distribution for Maidan like? How many copies of Maidan go out, and how far wide are they distributed?
Aylık şey yapıyoruz, çıkartıyoruz. En son 32. sayımızı yayınladık.
It's a monthly newspaper. This issue, last issue is the 32nd issue.
That's good.
We distribute to like 12, 13, 12 kilometers here.
Ne?
15 cities.
Okay.
More, but we do hand distribution in the city, in Istanbul, in centers,
and
transportation.
Bir de şeyde, Ahmet'te.
And for 2 years, we have an office in Ahmet also. We have two offices, one in Istanbul, Taksim, one in Ahmet. And
orada da 300'e yakın şey yapıyoruz gazete Kürdistan, bütün Kürdistan.
In Kürdistan area, 300 copies are distributed.
And so in the southeast, within the southeast borders of
yes.
Turkey?
Yes.
Okay.
Total, starting to around 2,000. What's the latest one?
Yeah. En sonuncusu 2000'di.
The latest one 2,000. It's around 2,000.
Ama mesela Taksim Gezi gibi bir şeyde, süreçte 8,000 tane dağıttık.
We had in the Taksim uprising process, we had the issue ready, but we changed many pages after the, of course. And then in the second day, we had had 8,000 copies.
And we have prepared this issue in 26 a cafe.
Ah, yes.
And that's cool. Just lay out.
Yeah, in one place was turned into newspaper.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Is it all, for the ones that are distributed in the Kurdistan region, is it in Kurmanji or is it in, it's still in
it's
Turkish?
In Turkish.
That's a lot of work to translate the whole newspaper. So.
Yes, but we have another project for this, another magazine, which will be both Turkish and Kurdish.
Cool.
And it is another big project that we are trying to create.
In terms of what we were talking about earlier, maybe we can step out of the conversation from here. Of you were talking about an increase of militarism in the schools. And that LAAF has been like fighting against. Is that because of the AK party?
No, it was since the start of the yani şimdi okullardaki militarizmin nedeni nedir diyor. It's the foundation of the
okay.
school.
Let's say istersen şey burada devreye.
As the conscientious object.
She's from conscientious object. Association.
Yani bu şeyle alakalı
değil. Like it's not related with any political party. It's the foundation of the republic is over these
yeah.
parties.
Mm-hmm. Yani bir ehlileştirme.
So this is part of a larger system of ehlileştirme.
Domestication.
Domestication. Okay.
Domestication and the mandatory. Military service is part of this, but it starts with the primary school.
Ve sadece bu topraklarda
askerler. It's not this, not just this geography, but the origin of the mandatory education is like this. From Prussia and then the British Empire.
Oh, from like the German style of education that was coming up in the 1840s.
But it's picked up by the British.
Mm-hmm. Israel
the high school aged conscientious objectors are also existing in Israel because they also have mandatory service and it's around the same age group.
The refuseniks. Refuseniks?
Bu şununla da alakalı, savaşla da.
So it's also related with the, being a military state and being a state of war, like in Israel. So what the state does is take a Kurdish child aged 7 and teach him that he is to be proud to be Turk. And then so that it can take it into military service and continue this operation. So that's why the conscientious objection struggle starts at the visa.
That makes sense. Yeah.
The conscientious objector association.
Objection
association. it's a separate self-organization. It's not
a part of DAF specifically.
No, it's not part of. But we have comrades.
Yeah.
Yeah. individuals who are rehabilitation, and it has two aspects: well, the mandatory military service, and it's also anti-war.
Mm. Like the association is linked with that, because the some of the individuals are from that. Mm. So this point is important because they sometimes shape the view of the association.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Final Straw Radio, and I'm Bursa Gunnis. Here, deaf activists talk about some of the historical struggles of the Kurdish peoples under the Ottoman Empire and Turkey, developed the development of modern anarchism after 1989 in Turkey and its connection to the Kurdish struggle. There's also a discussion of the relationship between the PKK, or the Kurdish Workers' Party, in Turkey, which has engaged in guerrilla struggle against the Turkish state since the early 1980s under the leadership of Abdullah Öcalan, also known as Apo at times, and how the anarchists engage in a formerly self-identified state socialist ethnic national liberation organization, the PKK. They also talk about the claims that the PKK and the related PYD movement in Syria have moved on to libertarian socialism, away from state socialism, and a bit about the social revolution in northern Syria called Rojava. Hossein uses the term Kemalism a few times. This is in reference to Mustafa Kemal Atatürk's philosophy of the modernized post-Ottoman Turkish Western-style nationalist state.
So the Turkish government recently entered into a ceasefire, had entered in a few years ago to a ceasefire with the Kurdish Workers' Party, as I understand it. And they, one party or the other, recently reneged on it. And hostilities have erupted again between the Turkish state and the PKK, or like other elements of the Kurdish population that are militarized. Can you talk about what your understanding of your personal expressions, or what Daf's perspective on the Kurdish question is, and in terms of, in particular, Rojava?
It will be a long answer.
Okay.
It's a big question.
Yes.
Well, firstly, in political level, the problem is named as Kurdish problem.
Yeah.
But this is the speech of the state. Okay, we name the problem as assimilation problem of the Kurds, or Turkish assimilation. It hasn't started like the in last 20 years or 30 years.
Yeah.
So we are not just talking about PKK. I mean, this struggle has an history. It was like before Turkish state, it was Ottoman Empire, and they gave struggle against Ottoman Empire. So we have firstly we have to understand that it has a past, it has an history, this struggle, and this is the struggle of the Kurdish people. And for last 30 years, PKK is the name of this struggle, the organization of this struggle. Well, we are mostly focusing on after the 2000, because it is the ideological changing appeared in PKK and that makes them more beside with the maybe Bukchinian perspective,
mm-hmm.
like libertarian municipalities or democratic confederalism.
Mm-hmm.
So as anarchists, we are happy to see these changes, but far away from these changes there is a fact that there is a struggle of Kurdish people against state.
Mm-hmm.
And Also for this issue, to understand the perspective of DAF, like, we have to understand what the self-organizations are doing. Think about, we have talked about consensus objection association. Like, from this side of the border, we are trying to socialize consensus objection, okay? To prevent the young people going to army and to become a tool in this war. So, like, we have been doing this when we started as DAF. So this issue is one of the biggest issue for DAF. Before association, we act as consensus objection platform for peace during these peace negotiations. Okay, we try to socialize consensus objection to prevent the war. Okay, but not like just focusing on the PKK has to give up their guns. It's not like this. I mean, the problem is directly related with the Turkish state, because Turkish state has economical, political and social aims in Kurdistan geography, and they have many politics like immigration politics to massacre politics and cultural politics like assimilation and what they are doing in education system and blah blah. So one of the things that we are trying to do from the first day as DAF is with this consensus objection issue. On the other hand, when Rojava, when Kobane resistance has started, we were in the border and like she was the one of the first person who went over the border, okay, and we were in there, and the French comrades from Federation, France Anarchist Federation, they wrote like, Turkish anarchists are in the border to solidarity with the Kurdish struggle. For us, it's not like this, because we don't call ourselves as Turkish anarchists. Because in society, they're Turkish, they're Kurdish, and many, we call ourselves as just anarchists. Mm. So this organization is not a Turkish organization, and so this is a reality in society. I'm talking about the repression to Kurdish people. So,
to be a Kurd in this geography means to be oppressed. So the identity, the Kurdish identity, is an oppressed identity. As anarchists, we can't be silent on such a huge oppression. Mm-hmm. So this issue is very important for the anarchists living in this area. It started around the time when the Soviet collapsed. Mm-hmm. So the first anarchists in Turkey were former socialists.
Yani Türkiye'deki sol gelenek Kemalizm'le çok ilintili.
And the left tradition in Turkey is has a lot of ties with the Kemal the Republic and the Kemalist ideology. Before the action, before the DAF was organized, the anarchist movement didn't include any voices that have dissociated from this ideological relations with the Kemalists.
So, okay. So before 89, because there was the Soviet Union existing, that's where all of the socially minded leftist people went to, was for the state socialist organizations. And then with the collapse of the Soviet Union, an alternative was sought, basically. Okay.
Yeah. And so the important part is Duff is one of the first
anarchist group who started talking about Kurdish issue, because like when we start to talk about Kurdish issue, they have named us, some of the anarchists, named us as
militarist,
şeyci, apocu, apoist anarchists.
Apoist?
Abdullah Öcalan.
Apo.
I mean, in left tradition in Turkey, Kemalism is something like inherited. Mm-hmm. Okay? So for the leftist people, they have to face with these Kemalist reflexes, okay? Because Kemalism is also related with the statist character of this left tradition. So we try to criticize this reflex and say that there is a problem which is made by Turkish state, and we are calling ourselves anarchists. So we have to do something about this. And we said that anarchism is not just focusing on like the anti-capitalist movement or some other issue. This is like one of the biggest issue in this geography. So during that time, during the first day of DAF, we like hem söz ürettik hem de eylemlerimizle bu da, mücadelenin dayanışmayla bir parçası haline geldik.
So since this issue was important for us in the first since the first day of DAF, we have both had their voice against the voice about this issue, and also we had solidarity actions and original actions on this issue. Mm-hmm. So the paradigm shift in the Kurdish movement is also affected by this solidarity.
I've read that the PKK shifted, or at least that Apo or Öcalan like shifted once he saw that the Soviet Union had fallen and was going and searching out other thought patterns and other ideologies and ways of looking at the world.
There's a time difference. Like.
Yeah, well, if this is 89, that was 2003, right?
Yeah.
So, and again, I'm not, I do not know, I'm an outsider, but I'm not trying to obscure Kurdish liberation movement with APO or with the PKK as being the same thing. I don't know enough, but it doesn't seem logical that one person is controlling the minds of all these other people.
Yes, and I think some comrades, anarchist comrades, think like this. Okay, the Abdullah Öcalan or PKK is controlling whole Kurdish struggle, but as I said, it is a new thing if we compare with the Kurdish struggle, because they are giving struggle for decades. So when we talk about the struggle of the Kurdish people, we have to understand this part. So okay, we have to accept there is a relation which are shaping each other. I'm talking about party, also talking about Abdullah Öcalan. But as I said, it is not one-sided relationship. Sometimes the struggle of the people shape the organizations. Like we have to think about why they have changed their paradigmas at that time. So, and even same anarchist comrades, they say that it is a maneuver. But I mean, sometimes it is illogical to say that it is a maneuver, because there are some other social realities in the society, especially in Bakur, in the north part of the Kurdistan. So we have to understand by this evolution of the struggle.
This is the Final Straw Radio, and I'm Bursa Goodness. In this last portion of part two of our conversation with members of DAF, an Istanbul-based anarchist network, members talk about the material solidarity with the Kurdish struggle in Turkey against the repression of the Turkish state across the border in Rojava, portions of northern Syria, and the international elements organized with the aid of anarchists from around the world alongside of DAF anarchists.
So outside of talking about issues that are faced by Kurds throughout Kurdistan and going to the border to do active solidarity, which is where I first saw DAF, was from some of the photos of people standing at the border. What kinds of other solidarity actions has DAF done for Kurdish people in struggle?
Since the start of DAF, we had solidarity relations in the street, but the active solidarity began with the Kobane resistance.
For Rojava process.
For Rojava process. So we were part of the Rojava community in the border. One of the things the Rojava community did was most importantly find place for do the logistics for people coming escaping the issued from the border, mm-hmm. and have them placed in tent cities, and if they had something, some needs, health or food, find organize this. The state was repressing the people in the villages, mm-hmm. and both the villagers and the people who came from
the refugees.
Yeah. And so this committee also was for dealing with this repression. So there was a lot of information noise, mm-hmm. and the part of the job for the committee was to share information and do clean communication between points important. When the Kobane resistance started, we thought we need to have an office in Ahmet, and the Meydan office was started then. And this solidarity relationship had to be coordinated within a intermediary center, so this is it was very important in this solidarity actions. So we had two projects within our boundaries of capabilities that we were talking about during these times.
Coordinating the materials and coordinating the information.
These were I'll talk about.
Okay.
After the victory in Kobane, there was a need to reconstruct the city. Mm-hmm. So we developed a project to be part of the reconstruction of the Kobane. Mm-hmm. And the second project was about the experience we had during this solidarity.
Şeyin, sınırın...
The project was to construct a coordination center right near the border on this side, mm-hmm. in Suruç.
Bu iki projenin de önemi.
So the most important aspect of these two projects were they were completely anarchist projects.
Dolayısıyla
the idea was to have anarchist organizations volunteering to do this. So part of this planning was done internationally. While we were organizing for the to realize these projects, the events like the Suruç bombing and the other bombings act and the wars. So the first project of reconstruction of Kobani still is on the agenda. State has gained control on Suruç after the bombing, and the political organizations were pushed away. So the second project had to be changed. So the first and second projects were linked because the coordination center that I talked about as the second project was the place that the international anarchist
movement
would, that the initiatives would talk how to do it, the second one, the first one. So it was the decision making place for the first project.
Devlet baskısı.
Although we have managed to have trust relations in Suruç to the point where we could do this anarchist coordination center, but the state oppression was strong enough to push the all the oppression away. So we moved project to Ahmet. So we already have the Meydan.
Bunu
it's not just to move to a better place, but the state operation also increased in Bakur. The Bureau in Ahmet was strategically important because of what happened in Bakur. It's still functioning as a place that international anarchist coordinates can use to see what's happening, to have information on Bakur. Because it's in Ahmet something. For us, as what's happening in Bakur, we are missing this. We have to change the priority to Bakur because it's near us.
Yeah.
We're already in this situation. It's not just a solidarity relation. So there was a third project related to this reconstruction. In the parts of Bakur where there was curfews and later operations, now these places are all ruins.
Yeah.
All ruins. There will be reconstruction in these
areas. Tekrardan bir yeniden yapılandırma sürecine şey yapması gerekiyor.
So this is the project that we are now focusing on. So we are considering this project at a time of war going on, and also the bombs in the cities, major cities. So these will affect the course of the war. So until now we had some achievements. So it's related with a syndicate that we are part of.
Like a union?
In
English?
Yes,
syndicate in English usually means mafia.
Okay. This is the construction workers union that we are part of. So with that union,
cool.
Most of the workers, construction workers, come from the Kurdish area. So a solidarity campaign was organized with the construction workers union for the cities in Bakur. So of course this is not about reconstruction or not. It was about lively needs, food, and other needs for the people living in these areas. But long-term, long-term goal of the project is to include the reconstruction.
Of Bakur.
Of Bakur, yeah. So, around all these projects that we talked about, we have some achievements. So, before there were no anarchist organizations in the Turkish geography. Now there is one, and this organization has a publication that's distributed around 400. So apart from the discussion about the Kurdish struggle is as anarchist or not, we are actually, we think the newspaper is very important.
Ben şeye gireyim istedim. Like we are talking about a sphere where Kurdish people are aware of anarchism. Because now, not now, but like 3 or 4 years before, when you talk about in a political meeting that I'm anarchist, a leftist or socialist or Marxist-Leninist person think like, oh, you are marginal.
Yeah, yeah.
But a Kurdish person say like, comrade to us. So they know who is Bakunin, they know who is Proudhon, they know about the theories of Kropotkin, and they don't have prejudgments like socialists. So for us, this is an opportunity to talk about anarchism more. So, like, as we have talked, now we are also talking about to publish a Kurdish magazine in Kurdistan. So we, from the first day of Rojava Revolution, we named the revolution as revolution. It's a social revolution. But we didn't name it as an anarchist revolution. But, I mean, they are talking about being stateless. They are talking about anti-capitalism. They are talking about ecology. They are talking about women liberations. These are good things. And more, we are there and talk about the relation between these issues and anarchism. So it is an opportunity and responsibility for us. I mean,
it's a communication between between different parties, and it's not just a preaching opportunity, but a chance to learn from each other.
Yes, and also maybe I organize in Kurdistan. So as Özgür has said, there are some good achievements, not just for DAF, for anarchist movement. I mean, and Rojava process is also good experience for anarchist for an international level. Like I'm acting from like 2005 as anarchist, but I haven't seen that anarchists did the same thing in an international level far away from Rojava revolution process. So, I mean, from Ireland to Russia, there were many solidarity actions, and these actions are called by anarchist comrades together. So, like, we have, like, we remember one thing again, that the most useful weapon of us, solidarity. And during this process, we met with many comrades from Ecuador to Spain. So, and this process is also an important process for anarchists. And we take the issue from this perspective. And like, we are not saying that like in one side there is a discussion between anarchists. In one side they are saying that what is happening in Rojava, it is anarchist, and on the other side there is some criticism about this, it is not related with anarchism. So our side is, okay, we have some criticism, but on the other hand there is a social reaction in there, in society. And if we just watch this action, what is happening in Kurdistan geography, like, it will be...
It's not
useless.
Perfect.
Yes.
We can't touch it.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we have to get insight and see what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, from the first article that we have wrote for Rojava Revolution, we said that we are not fortune tellers, okay? We are talking about a geography in Middle East, and it is hard to guess what will happen for next year. Maybe Assad regime hold whole Rojava, maybe Russia hold whole mm-hmm. Rojava, or US will come. We don't know, and we are not sure.
Yeah.
But there is the violence of the state, there is the violence of the capitalist companies, and it is obvious, and people are suffering.
And the violence of Daesh.
Yes, well, yes, Islamic conservatism. So, the thing what has happened is, the people who are living in Rojava, they have started to say no to ISIS, to mm-hmm. Turkey, to even Barzani, the Iraq in Kurdistan.
Yeah.
Yes, so. We are talking about a geography and a political situation like this. At that time, as in our history as anarchists, we have taken responsibility and to according to our capacity,
yeah.
according to what we can do. So this is what we have done until now. And it is still going, and as you are here and you are witnessing, the war is getting expanded.
Yeah.
So we will see. But as he also said, there are good achievements for anarchist movement.
I was curious when you were talking about Reconstruction, when I think of capacities and anarchist projects in the United States, which is what I'm most familiar with, the capacity for anarchist projects is very small. So with the Reconstruction, I can imagine people coming with... you were organizing alongside of Kurdish construction workers, right?
Not just Kurdish construction workers, okay. But in sector, most of them are Kurdish.
Okay. I'm wondering about with the... Where does the capital come from to be able to like rebuild buildings? Is that, and if that's something I don't need to know, that's something I don't need to know. But just aiding families and small institutions in rebuilding and constructing the buildings that they were operating in, basically, coming and lending hands and whatever knowledge people have of construction alongside of workers
mm-hmm.
to sort of rebuild the
buildings.
Till now, in other projects, there were a lot of international solidarity for Rojava.
Mm-hmm.
But this can be similarly
yeah.
for the Bakur reconstruction. The project is not now being realized now.
Yes.
Yeah. It's an ongoing project. It's planning.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it can happen because we saw it happen for Rojava.
Mm-hmm.
If we can afford to build like not whole Kobane city or not whole Rojava, like maybe one building to build or 10 building,
it's a start.
Yes, it's a start, and it is not just about starting. It is also about like during after Kobane victory, the state of Sweden said that. Okay, we can reconstruct the city. And there are some building companies, okay? They said that we are eager to reconstruct the city. But, for Kobane, the people who resist the city are not these people, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not the rich people.
Yeah.
So, the thing that we are trying to do, as Comrade Durruti said, we are not afraid to build,
mm-hmm.
okay? It is a starting point. After a while, we know, especially from this process, that when you start doing something, when you hold a stone, there will be more hands to
mm-hmm.
raise this stone.
And also, we didn't talk about the details of the first project, but common to all projects that we plan is not just building a hospital or building a cafeteria. The process is important. Mm-hmm. Like and the building process. Will be an all anarchist mm-hmm. process which will include international solidarity, and then the place will continue to live and it will be operated mm-hmm. in this way. So it's a living mm-hmm. living entity.
Prefigurism. Like
yes.
You're saying this is the vision of the world that we want to live in and want to
yes.
build. We're going to do it all, like every step of the way.
So mm. you're creating yeah. a living entity there.
Yeah.
No, it's not just a building. Mm. The reconstructions needs more.
Yeah.
Like during this process, when we talk about these projects, like there were many males, like from Germany. Mm. They are working in health sector. Okay. They are saying that if there is a project like to build a hospital. We will voluntarily work there.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, maybe they won't give money for the tools or other things, but it is important for the devam etmesi için, sürekliliği için.
To continue
the project. Sounds.
That's beautiful. That's amazing. That's a lot more information than I expected to get. Also, I've been really impressed with everything that I've seen that y'all have built so far. It's really impressive. So I hope that people in America can and elsewhere can learn from this and from this conversation.
You're listening to WSFM LP 103.3 FM in Asheville, North Carolina. This is The Final Straw, and I'm William Goodenough. The show can also be heard on KXCF in Marshall, California, KWTF in Bodega Bay, California, KOWA in Olympia, Washington, and WCRS-LP in Columbus, Ohio. The show will later be aired, archived at thefinalstrawradio.noblogs.org, and you can email us with questions or suggestions at thefinalstrawradio@riseup.net. Also, if you are interested in rebroadcasting any episode or segment, you are free to do so. Just send us an email so we know you're out there. If you care to, you can send us letters at The Final Straw, care of Asheville FM, 864 Haywood Road, Asheville, North Carolina, 28806.